So last week we reflected on death and dying. So it seems natural that this week we will reflect a little bit on what comes after death. What lies beyond this earthly life? And I think the short answer is we don't know for sure. We have ideas and suspicions and desires, but no one knows for absolute sure what might happen after our physical bodies die. Now, the long answer to the question is, well, long and varied and complex. Because no one knows for absolute sure, there are many ideas about an afterlife. Some people believe there is no afterlife, that when we die, it's the end of our consciousness as well as our physical body. Buddhism teaches that we are reborn so that we can learn from our past lives as we work toward enlightenment. And Hinduism seems to teach something very similar to that. Islam teaches a resurrection of the body on a final judgment day when we'll all be sent to either paradise or hell. In Judaism, beliefs seem to differ quite a bit about the afterlife. There's no one official teaching. The beliefs can range from the belief that nothing comes after death to a belief in a judgment day to even beliefs in reincarnation. And other spiritual paths, of course, might have other ideas about what happens. And I'm not an expert in any of these religions, and so I'm, of course, talking in generalities. But beliefs in the afterlife seem to me to fall into the three categories. The first, that there's nothing after death. And the second, that there's some kind of reincarnation of the soul into another earthly life. And the third, that there is a continuation of our existence in some other place, whether it be a heaven or a hell or something else. Christianity traditionally has taught that there is a heaven, and you go there if you've been good, if you've been following God all your life, or sometimes even just for the last few minutes of your life. And if you haven't been so good, you go to a place of punishment called hell. And again, there's lots of variations on those ideas. For example, as a child, I was taught that the key to get into heaven was not doing good works, but accepting Jesus as your savior. And I think the assumption also was, well, that if you did that, you would also start doing good works, right? Some people might also debate whether just one soul, or excuse me, just our soul goes on, or whether we're resurrected into another physical body, or perhaps, as the Apostle Paul suggests in our reading, some kind of spiritual body. In any case, the idea of heaven and hell has been the traditional teaching in Christianity. However, biblical scholar Bart Ehrman points out that that hasn't always been the case. In his book called Heaven and Hell, A History of the Afterlife, he traces the evolution of Christian ideas about what happens when we die. And according to Ehrman, the prevalent belief of Judaism at the time of Jesus was that at the end of history, God would intervene in the world to bring about a resurrection of the dead, destroying the forces of evil and establishing a utopian realm on earth. And he believes that Jesus shared this apocalyptic understanding of what was going to happen. And in this view, our souls don't immediately go to heaven or hell, but at the end time, the dead would be raised to be judged. And those who lived as God wanted them to, loving their neighbor, well, they would enter into God's realm. And those who were judged to be wicked would not go to hell, but be destroyed, basically ceasing to exist. And what's more, Ehrman believes that Jesus and others in that time thought that this was going to happen pretty soon. And he cites Mark 9, verse 1, where Jesus says, "Some of those standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God having come in power." The problem is that the realm of God, in that apocalyptic fashion anyway, as the result of a final judgment, didn't happen soon. And that was a reality that Jesus' later followers, including those who wrote the Gospels, had to deal with. And so their ideas of the afterlife had to change and evolve. Ehrman believes that some of the things that Jesus said about an afterlife might not have been Jesus' words at all, but words attributed to him by later followers who are trying to deal with this issue of, well, why hasn't God come yet? For example, when Jesus talks to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John about eternal life as a present reality, not just a future one, Ehrman suspects that those words might really come from his later followers and not from Jesus himself. I personally understand the realm of God kind of in that fashion, as a present reality. The realm of God spoken about by Jesus, what I would usually call the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom, to not be a place. It's not a nation or that kind of entity, but I understand it as a way of life. Maybe in some sense closer to the idea of enlightenment than the idea of heaven. And if that's the case, then Jesus' words are saying some of his followers are going to reach this state of enlightenment and understanding in their lives. The kingdom of God then becomes about living in a way that heals the world in this life before we die, rather than something that happens after we die. But if talk of the kingdom and eternal life is about the present rather than an afterlife, as I would propose it is for the most part, what does that leave us to say about the afterlife? Well, there's different ideas. The poet Billy Collins, in his poem called The Afterlife, proposes the idea that it might be, well, whatever we think it is. He begins the poem, "While you are preparing for sleep, brushing your teeth, or riffling through a magazine in bed, the dead of the day are setting out on their journey. They are moving off in all imaginable directions, each according to his own private belief. And this is the secret that silent Lazarus would not reveal, that everyone is right, as it turns out. You go to the place you always thought you would go, the place you kept lit in an alcove in your head." And the poem goes on to describe what some of these afterlives might look like in ways both serious and humorous. And the poem makes me think, though, that if I want to reflect on the afterlife, really all I can do, because I have no absolute answers, is share my dreams and my suspicions and my desires. And so first, I would say that I do believe in an afterlife. Part of the reasoning for that belief is intuition. As a human being, it's hard for me to imagine not existing. But if frankly, if that turns out to be the case, I think I'm okay with that as well. The idea is kind of disappointing. But if my consciousness is truly gone, I know I won't be here to feel sad about it either. But I suspect that there is indeed something more. It's an insight so deeply embedded in the human psyche that it's hard to dismiss. And although there is currently no scientific proof of an afterlife, there's also no scientific proof that there isn't one. And I'm usually reluctant to make claims about what it's like because I don't really know what it's like. And I don't want to disparage others' ideas about what it might be like. I do admit to being skeptical about some of those ideas, such as past lives, for example, but I try to remain open-minded about it. And actually, if we're worried about a fair and just afterlife, reincarnation actually seems to me like a pretty good scheme. On the other hand, the best evidence that I'm aware of comes from people who are said to remember their past lives under hypnosis, and I'm not sure that I personally trust what our brains might be doing under hypnosis. Likewise, near-death experiences are quite fascinating, but I still find myself skeptical, but trying to keep an open mind. After all, in the words of Miracle Max from the movie The Princess Bride, there's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. mostly dead is slightly alive. What really intrigues me, though, are the accounts of people who, for example, see ghosts, or those who have had their own out-of-body experiences in which they've gained knowledge that they couldn't have otherwise obtained. Although I suppose there might be other explanations for those stories seem to me to be at least some evidence that there is a soul which can be separated from the physical body, a soul which can live on after our physical body dies. And although I think much of the Bible's talk of the kingdom of God is really about our present reality, I do think the Bible does talk about an afterlife. In his letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is clearly giving his ideas about what a resurrection of the faithful is going to look like. And one of the things that I like in his analogy of death is the analogy of death to sowing a seed. I think my vision of what it's going to be like is similar to that. Death as a graduation from this life to the next. We're here, we learn, we experience, and we move on. Or maybe it's a death as a transformation, like the caterpillar that enters its cocoon and emerges a butterfly. We move from a soul tied to an earthbound physical body to, in the words of Paul, a spiritual body, where we fly free. I think what I don't like about what Paul is saying is that it seems to disparage the physical experience. And I understand he might be using the language that he uses to give hope and strength to those who are struggling with persecution and oppression in this life. But I also know Jesus spent his entire ministry trying to help people in this life, worrying about their everyday problems. So I think this life is a gift of God, a gift to be embraced and lived and loved. It's a good thing. Now, I think there are times too when Jesus is probably talking about an actual afterlife. And one of those times is that scripture from the 14th chapter of John. He talks there about going to prepare a place for his followers in God's house. And it's a scripture that we often use at funerals to reassure us that God will care for us even after we die. But other than giving us the metaphor of a mansion with many rooms, it doesn't offer a lot of details. But the thing I find personally important about it is that it understands an afterlife as going to be with God. And that's probably the central thing that I would say that I believe. We are created by God, from God, that we have this physical life and then we return to God. And I don't necessarily know what that looks like. Traditionally, people have envisioned something in the clouds with pearly gates and streets of gold. I think personally, if I was designing heaven, it would be lots of nature with trees, some nice grass, maybe a lake and a beach, lots of puppies to play with and snuggle with. Yeah, I'm getting to that. Endless pizza buffet and a dessert table with ice cream and pastries and baked goods. diabetes isn't going to be a problem in my heaven. But yeah, really think of it as a Garden of Eden. And we all have our ideas and wishes and hopes about what it might be like. Or maybe the afterlife is just energy returning to energy. I kind of like that image as well. Beings created out of love, returning to become part of some great, big, eternal, divine ball of love. But whatever the image or the metaphor, I understand the afterlife as a returning to God, where I expect we'll more fully understand the nature of our existence. We'll see from a different perspective. Now, note that I haven't mentioned the idea of hell in what I personally believe. And that's because I believe God is love. And I don't understand how there could ever be a hell of eternal punishment if God is love. that just makes no sense. Perhaps there's another learning experience for those who seem to fail this learning experience. Or maybe there's more learning experiences for all of us. Or maybe once we have understanding, the sins of this world won't matter anymore. I don't know. And what I do when I don't know is I put my trust in God. So I've truly given you no answers to the question of what lies beyond this life. But I do firmly believe that if we live this life seeking to become the beings of love that we are created to be, God is going to take care of all the rest. There is certainly no reason to fear an afterlife. There will be a place for us in God's loving arms. Amen.